This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Rick Hilberg was talking briefly about how MUFON has turned. We've covered that rather extensively. I call it the downfall of MUFON. And let's get past them. Let's pretend for a while
that
there is no MUFON. How has your thinking about UFOs evolved over the years?
Well, my thinking basically changed about the year 1970 for a lot of the same reasons that Alan's and yours probably has changed. I came to realize that UFOs go so far back into history and so many forms that it almost seems as if they are something that has been with us, you know, since time immemorial. They've always been a part of our environment. Whether they are some sort of being or who knows, you know, whatever they are. Alan made a great point, you know, no one ever sees the mothership from Venus roaring in from outer space. They're always seen right here. That's the clue. And so many of the motifs that you find in classic UFO cases, fairy lore, et cetera, all kind of dovetail together that we have some sort of paranormal activity going on here, some sort of elemental beings that maybe are sharing, you know, the earth with us. That's basically my thinking today.
Randall has been very quiet, listening, learning from his elders, learning about what the old fogies have to think about UFOs and such. A couple of questions in our forum of Jerry Clark. Why don't you ask those now?
Yeah, here we've got one here for Jerry, one here from William Strathman, regular contributor on the forums. And he's asking Jerry if he plans on making the encyclopedia available in electronic format as an ebook. And another question, if he's considered an online subscription site for the encyclopedia so that subscribers from around the world might be able to read and comment on it article by article.
Well, I'm really honestly, sincerely flattered by those questions. The simple fact of the matter is that I don't own the copyright on the encyclopedia. If you look at it, it's owned by the publisher OmniGraphics, which is or was a reference publisher. Reference publishing has been completely decimated like so many other things by the internet. And I'm not even sure the books are still in print. Some years ago, I was approached by a university press to have the books published in affordable trade paperback versions by this university press. And so I went to my publisher, which still, at least then, still existed in some skeletal form. And I couldn't get anywhere with them. And I just couldn't get a straight answer about anything. And the experience was so dispiriting because I would like to have the encyclopedia available in affordable editions to anybody who's interested in them. But I just don't know what to do. I'm afraid that I'm going to have to say that no, there are no plans like that. Although both of these suggestions are excellent ones.
Just a fast question, Jerry. There is no successor company you can contact for this publisher?
OmniGraphics, for which my wife used to work, she used to go to the office every day. In fact, that's how we met, because she was the editor on the series. But there is a small skeletal staff, and I'm not even, they must publish something. But I even knew the people that I was dealing with, and I couldn't get a straight answer out of them. I don't think they knew what to do themselves about it. It was just a very strange and frustrating episode.
Now, when does the copyright expire on this book?
75 years.
Not in my lifetime, unfortunately.
Something you could do, though, Jerry, and you could have a website put together where you do allow people to comment on it article by article, and I believe that fair use guidelines would allow for the reference to the article and some brief quotes from it, and That would allow some of it to get out that way, and you could respond to it personally if you were so interested in doing something like that.
You know, also, though, too, unless it was a straight buyout from the publisher, unless they've sent you royalty statements and royalty payments, the contract would probably be null and void. I mean, I've gone through this with publishers, too. They're out of business. They're out of business. If a publisher is deceased, for example, who's going to complain? But some of these early UFO magazines that pretended to buy the rights, they're not in existence, and the publishers are out of business. So who's going to voice an objection to
it? Yeah, but he can't take that chance. You know what, Tim? I got an idea, Tim. You're a publisher. Yes. Why don't you talk to Jerry? Maybe you contact the publisher and say, I might like to republish some of this book.
Yeah.
What can we work out? And see what they do. And the worst they can say is no. You know, they can say no, or they can say no way unless you give us all sorts of money, but this book is not generating income for them.
There never was much money in UFO publishing, and now I'm afraid there's less than ever, because everybody has become an author and a publisher with the advent of online publishing. I mean, it's whittled away whatever the sizable market that there was. I mean, if I could tell you the number of books I was selling in the 80s, it was, for this type of material, astronomical. And today it's far from astronomical.
Jerry, let's move beyond that. Maybe Tim has some ideas for you, because I'd love to see something happen here and not just have a moribund publisher kind of lock you up. How has your thinking about UFOs, Jerry Clark, morphed and or changed over the years?
Well, as I've been listening to these interesting accounts of people's evolving ideas about UFOs, and I've been thinking about how am I going to express mine succinctly. So this is as succinctly as I can get. I'm not going to go into the history. I'm just going to say that about 10, 15 years ago, it came to me that we're dealing with two things. We're dealing with event anomalies and experience anomalies. And event anomalies are things that are potentially verifiable in the world and seem to operate according to conventional laws of physics and are solvable. They're unexplained but not inexplicable. Experience anomalies are the high strangeness phenomena that people report but don't seem to exist outside people's experiences of them. Now, these are extraordinarily anomalous experiences. They're not hallucinations. You can't put them in any kind of conventional category. But their genesis is quite complicated, having to do with human consciousness, ideas from the culture, traditions of the supernatural. And the problem is, I think, that we conflate event anomalies with experience anomalies. And sometimes the two phenomena may look alike and have a surface similarity, but are actually phenomenologically very, very different. In the last 10, 20 years, my interest has been almost entirely focused on experience anomalies, and I've written extensively on them. Most of my writing these days appears in Fortean Times, and I have a feature article coming out before the year is out in Fortean Times called Wilson Experience Anomaly, which is a case history of an experience anomaly. I lectured on experience anomalies to the Society for Scientific Exploration in 2008 when I won the Tim Dinsdale Award for Scholarship in Anomalies. And that's really what I'm interested in now. I'm interested in just how anomalies are experienced, not so much in how they're verified, because I think that event anomalies are actually probably the smallest part of the picture. And experience anomalies are simply so far beyond current knowledge that all we can talk about is how they happen, how they perceive, what the mechanics of them are, without having any idea about what generates them, what's behind them. We just know how they're experienced, and they go all the way from fairy lore, encounters with divine beings, UFO abductions. There's just a whole range of things that appear and that are experienced in different kinds of cultural contexts, but all are experienced vividly. That people are not mistaking what's happening to them. It's really happening to them. But what they think is happening to them may not be what is really happening to them. And we're dealing with something that really, as I say, is just simply so far beyond current knowledge, it's very difficult to talk about more specifically.
We got more to come. Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg, Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley with J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
And membership is only $9.95.
Yep. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Billett. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Speaking of experiencers, just happened to have here a book that we're going to talk about probably next week from Anomalous Books. It's called No Return, The Jerry Irwin Story, UFO Abduction or Covert Operation. And it talks about a case back in the late 1950s that may have similarities to what happened to Betty and Barney Hill, only it happened a little bit earlier. So that's interesting. That's about experiences, and we'll look at that. Interesting how our viewpoints have changed. And, Tim, we kind of know where you stand, but just quickly, Randall, you are less of an outright nuts and boltser now than you used to be.
That really depends on how you look at the question in the first place. And I think that ufology and ufologists in general don't have a united view of what actually the word UFO means, what ufology is, and how it should be approached in a logical manner, perhaps with the exception of Jerome, who has done a fantastic job, in my opinion, most of the time. I couldn't have said it better myself when you said what they think is happening may not be what is actually happening. While I have the mic here, before I go on with any of my own, I really would like to...
We're
going to
grab the mic from him using the hook. The hook's right around his neck. Go ahead, please.
Because we've got another question in the forum here from one of our regular posters, Ronaway, who's, as Chris likes to point out when he's on, has more likes than posts. And this is kind of a question for everybody here. Do you have any ideas on how to engage the next generation of investigators, to inspire young people or younger people, the next generation, to get involved? And we asked that of a lot of guests, but this is a chance to ask all you guys together while you're all here and get a response from everyone.
I think there won't be a next generation of ufologists per se. I think that the best strategy would be to make it solicit making it a branch of paranormal research. Now, granted, paranormal research is, I'm talking about serious academic research, overextended as it is. Nevertheless, I would recommend approaching, for example, the University of Virginia, which has done marvelous work with a lot of paranormal things. Dean Radin is also someone that I would approach. I think that it should be treated as a paranormal phenomenon. By the way, I don't disagree with Jerry on not knowing the ultimate answer. I'm speculating that it may involve quantum phenomena. But the experience has its own numinosity and is its own numinosity. And that is true of all paranormal things, near-death experiences. What are we to make of
those?
We're
getting off track there.
No, it's not off track at all. Near-death experiences and UFO experiences have an identical underlying similarity in that they are numinous experiences that the bottom line on them is not accessible to us.
What does that have to do with getting young people involved in the next generation of ufology? That's the question. So
yes, I answered that.
Okay, let's move on to the next guest.
Okay.
Who else can step in there?
I've always wondered, actually, why, you know, there seems to be some evangelistic attitude among those in UFOs that we've got to pass this on. You know, in most cases, now not in all the cases, but it seems that the most people who get involved in this are those that have some sort of experience. You know, I can come to your house, let's say that I'm a member of some, religious group, and I can knock on your door and try to convert you to my way of my belief system, but you're probably going to end up slamming the door in my face. And I think it's the same way with UFOs. I don't see any reason really. People that are interested in this and have an experience will gravitate to it, gravitate to this by themselves. I don't think that there's anything really that you could do to pop up interest. It could be that they still read a book, maybe they watch an episode of Ancient Aliens, or it could be that some sighting above their house, just like mine at the age of 10, got me involved in this. I don't know whether this is something that you can pass down to another generation. They will find it if that's their calling in life.
That's a really interesting answer. So you're saying, well, maybe we shouldn't really focus on that as much as just let it evolve organically with the next generation and see what comes of it. Interesting response.
Yeah. Well, I don't you know, how can you give this to somebody if they're not interested in it? You can't push it down their throat. And academia, for example, has a little interest in it, so they're not going to learn about it in school. In fact, if anything, we're now told you know, that the teachers shouldn't accept even you know, book reports and things along that line if they deal with any of these subjects. Thank you, James Randi and other skeptics.
Okay, how about next guest who hasn't weighed in on this one yet?
Rick Hilberg.
Well, this is Rick. My feeling on the whole thing is that it's true that people drift in and out of the UFO field, whatever we want to call it, ufology, whatever. Most people get into it and they take a nuts and bolts approach at first. They try to gather evidence. They try to do this. They try to do that. And they find out that they're not getting any answers. They're not finding what the UFOs actually are. I know we all started out back in the 60s. Hell, in the club news section, your organization, my organization, we all wanted to get to the bottom of this. We wanted to solve the UFO mystery. Well, it's unsolvable. It's a very personal thing, and I think we all have to get involved with it and evolve with it. And I think people who spend too much time on the nuts and bolts approach are doomed to failure, and they're going to drop out. It's a very personal, almost spiritual experience.
Well, that is a fault of MUFON. Let's go on past MUFON. Jerry Clark, your observation.
Well, I think one thing we need to do, and not we here because we're victims of history like everybody else, but we grew up with the UFO phenomenon, and we went through all the various crazes and phases and so on and looked at it from this direction, that direction. That's inevitable and that's healthy. But I think that as I listen to a lot of the conversation, I just feel like we're still stuck in old feuds and old dichotomies, old debates. I don't know that the next generation, whoever it is, will be stuck in that. I think that they're going to come and they're not going to worry about nuts and bolts or psychic phenomena or those things. I think they're going to take a fresh look at it and just look at the evidence. I think that one lamentable thing that happened to our generation, and I don't blame anybody because it's really inevitable. And that is the kind of binary thinking that nuts and bolts versus high strangeness cases. You know, I think that we just need to understand that UFOs may be more than one thing.
Let's continue on that theory, Jerry, in our next segment. Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg, Tim Beckley, Alan Greenfield, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith, Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, "Hey, try this." Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the question was, of course, getting young people interested in this, and Jerry Clark talking about binary thinking, either or, that sort of thing. Let's continue with that, Jerry.
Yeah, I think that, where the extraterrestrial hypothesis is concerned, which I continue to be open-minded about, it just doesn't interest me as much as it used to, but that doesn't mean it's invalid. If you're going to look for extraterrestrial visitors, you're going to look at the old-fashioned hard evidence cases, the radar visuals, the CE2s, and so on. That's where the evidence is, if it's there. But the other cases, which actually interest me more, are the high strangeness cases, the experience anomalies, where something is vividly experienced and survives only in perception, memory, and testimony, but nowhere else. If you're going to look for extraterrestrial UFOs in high strangeness cases, in which I include, by the way, UFO abduction stories, you're not going to find evidence of extraterrestrial visitation. You have to look elsewhere. And this is the dichotomy between event anomalies and experience anomalies. We have to decide where we're going to look, because when you're dealing with anomalies generally, there's all kinds of ways to enter into the room. There are all kinds of doors into the room. You just have to remember that there are many doors. There's not just necessarily one door. That these things happen or don't happen or are experienced in all kinds of ways. We really need to be Fordians, not dogmatists, about what is or is not happening. I think that the next generation that comes along, and I presume there will be a next generation, from time to time I hear from intelligent, thoughtful young people, and that gives me hope that there is a next generation. They'll have a chance to look at this thing, learn from what we learned, what we passed on, but also from our own blindnesses and mistakes that we were oblivious to. I always tell my kids, you know, if I can't do anything else for you, I can serve as a bad example. In a sense, maybe we can serve as bad examples to the next generation.
Most kids have already agreed that their parents are bad examples. I refer to my son Grayson. I think he's kind of mixed about that. We've done work together. We've written books together. But on the other hand, he has his own life and his own thing that he does.
May I ask Jerry a question?
Yes, we can allow that. We have to, of course, get a vote. Now go ask
the question. Take the vote. Jerry, okay, I don't disagree with what you're saying, although it's still somewhat binary, you know. If you met one of these, and I haven't met a lot of them among the millennials, one of these is young people who aspires to deal with the high strangeness cases, and they're about to start their college education. What subjects would you recommend to them as prerequisites to delving into the phenomena?
Well, if they're dealing with their interest is in what I call experience anomalies, the high strangeness phenomena, I'd suggest psychology, history, culture studies, folklore.
I agree completely.
So do I.
Interesting.
Hey, this is very interesting that we have Alan Greenfield and Jerome Clark agreeing on something.
Yeah.
I think that eventually what we've been doing collectively and what people are doing now and will do in the future, someday in the future, when we're all dead and buried and gone, I think that the UFO topic will be of more interest to behavioral sciences than the physical sciences. And that's the bottom line. And I think that's good. I think that's where we should, you know, Jerry said, yeah, take psychology, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's going to be it. That's how we're going to understand what's been going on.
Well, I don't mean it in a debunking sense. Neither do I. Yeah, and I also think that there are the CE2s and the Hart Evans cases, that if someone was interested in those, that person should study physics and chemistry and astronomy. Those are the tools of which you would approach that. But the kinds of things that interest me, and I think the rest of us here, we're mostly interested in the high strangeness thing. I think that these things are filtered through culture and history, and that's, we have to have a firm understanding of those things just to understand the kind of mental processing that creates these, or at least gives form to these experiences.
Well, you know, one of the problems here is that we don't have any really good, at least as far as I know, substantial cases like we did back in the, years ago. Most of the things that we hear about are of the high strangeness situation. So we're just not presented with really good hardcore cases to investigate. Now,
Before you continue with that premise, Tim, we've had Chris Rutkowski on, the Canadian UFO researcher, and every year there's a bunch of sightings, and some are pretty interesting. And we have that certain UFO organization whose name will go unmentioned that claims to receive a consistent number of sightings. So is it the number of sightings, Tim? Is it the number of sightings or simply the extent to which they offer the extra details?
Well, I think it's the caliber of the sighting is what I would be referring to. I mean, certainly there are reports. Peter Davenport probably does, as far as I'm concerned, the best job of all of maintaining a database on this. But you certainly don't have the media bringing this to the attention of the public or to researchers. So even if there is a good case, by time it gets any attention at all, I mean, I tend not to accept anything that I see on the internet because most of it is very anonymous, and you have really no way of checking it out. In the old days, you know, there was that newspaper clipping in front of you. We probably all at one time or another subscribed to a news clipping service, and lo and behold, there were witnesses in specific places, and you could call them on the telephone, and you could get additional data. In fact, that's probably how I went from nuts and bolts to high strangeness. I would investigate some of these cases that started out as nuts and bolts, but when I met the witnesses firsthand and communicated with them directly, I found out that, they might have had a sighting of a physical object in the sky or something that had landed, in their yard. But if you talk to them privately, you'd find out that there was a heck of a lot more going on that took place after this initial experience.
I can make a suggestion that Tim may have missed so far, but I run this virtually daily for the last couple of years because I think it was on your program, Gene, but this is Alan, but somebody said, well, where are the sightings now? Well, I read the, for other reasons, I read the Google news feed every day, and it mostly is from respectable sources. And there, if you include in your category of interest UFOs, you will find that there are UFO cases in the traditional sense of not particularly numinous that are typical of UFO cases from June 24th, 1947 through now, every day, every single day. Some of them are foreign, some of them are domestic, some of them are from less reliable sources like Breitbart, which I ignore, or Sputnik, which is an arm of the Russian government.
That's still being published?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
The point
well,
is,
they
you don't.
Published a letter of mine when I was about 16 years old, and you know, I got UFO reports and clippings and stuff from a lot of the then Soviet bloc countries.
Let's go back to Alan in our next segment and final segment. Teen ufologists definitely grow up. Alan Rainfield, Tim Beckley, Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg, J. Randall Murphy, our co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.
But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The Google News feed has your typical UFO cases every single day.
When I check Google News, I indicate UFOs as one of the topics I look for, and there's always
right,
something
so
there.
Yeah, that actually, for some reason on my feed, it comes out as two different ones. But, you know, you check beyond the sources, but I will reprint those if they allow reprinting on my blog, not because I'm particularly interested in that type of case now, but because a lot of my readers are. And also, I do want to refute that notion that is out there that where are the UFOs? Actually, the number of sightings this past year exceeded anything in the past 5 years. It's sort of like global warming. If you graph it, it's very interesting, but doesn't prove anything one way or the other. Yeah, and but it's important to note that ordinary UFO cases are still out there for anyone who would care to investigate them beyond, you know, a news clipping, so to speak.
Well, I think in the news, what we see a lot of the times is just someone will put UFO or flying saucer or something strange just as part of the headline in order to get those people who are interested to pick up the story. It's an attention getter. It's part of the fake news thing. So how do you differentiate between something that's fake news and something that isn't?
Well, remember, first of all, that's called clickbait. You say something. The other thing is you say something nasty about Apple Incorporated. You know,
nothing,
the iPhone 8 is going to be a big failure. That's a clickbait also.
If it's New York Times or the London Times or a number of other things, first of all, fake news is a term that I find reprehensible. But we're liable to lose the First Amendment if we continue to use terminology like that. But having said that, I don't reprint sightings that don't seem to have some meat on the bones.
Yeah.
But if I just put out the basic information, and if someone who is interested in the, what was that term that you used, Jerry, for the more traditional cases of things that can...
Event anomalies.
Event anomalies. Then they have that starting point of people in X saw phenomena Z, and usually it gives names, real names, and you can go from there. If you're into that kind of investigation, that's just not where I'm at. I'm more likely to refer people to William James and the varieties of religious experience than I am to Donald Kehoe and the variety of flying saucers top secret.
I think the early UFO literature, which I read in TIFF, I returned to when I was working on the encyclopedia. It's not completely worthless. I mean, there's stuff there that's recorded, and that's all good, and that helps us. But generally, it's the theorizing, the understanding, and I'm not pointing fingers because I understand where they were back then, but it's pretty primitive. There wasn't a lot of really kind of serious thinking, and that includes serious thinking about the extraterrestrial hypothesis back then. It was all pretty superficial.
It was all amateurs. Even the people that worked on the Air Force project, which people seem to think discovered something of significance, they were not particularly trained in that area. It's like the old saw about cops are reliable witnesses for UFO cases, so you can trust. Those cases are not necessarily any better than anybody else. Cops are human beings, and at 4 o'clock in the morning and Venus rises and they're in a moving car, it'll stop when you stop and go when you go. I've back in my days when I was doing field investigations, that was like the first thing I asked for. Did it look like a morning star? Well, yeah, sort of like
one thing that really among the many surprises that I experienced while I was researching the encyclopedia volumes was how good NICAP's investigations were. NICAP had these field organizations. They would go out to investigate cases, and they would do just amazing jobs of running down just about everything, and they'd come back with these thick reports that even now make for utterly fascinating reading. But you'd read the NICAP UFO investigator, and all you would read was blasting the Air Force. There was no indication that these real in-depth field investigations by capable people, hardworking people, were going on. And so NICAP, I was able to draw on a lot of those field reports in the encyclopedia, which I realized was the first time that these investigations got a full exposure. NICAP, in a sense, was its own worst enemy.
Well, you know, Kehoe wanted it to be a lobbying organization. Let's get congressional hearings. I'm working to put NICAP out of business. He said all those things.
Just down from the corner of DuPont Circle and Connecticut Avenue, where Gene was thrown out of the office for reasons unknown. Otherwise, I would have never met Valet, Hynek, or Ray Palmer. So thank you, Gene.
Well, I feel so happy to be thrown out of NICAP, except that I met up with Richard Hall maybe a decade later, and we shook hands. And he realized, I think, then that he was way out of turn. We've talked about that 1,001 times, so I'm not going to bother with it now. Some of our people here still have ventures to publicize. So, Tim Beckley, very briefly, if listeners want to know about the things you do, tell them where to go.
Okay. The two latest books would be The Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick and My Synchronicities, all about 50 of them. These are very wild. I mean, we're not talking about looking at the clock and seeing 444 or thinking about somebody in the, you know, they call on the telephone 2 days later. And the Nazi UFO Time Travelers. And, of course, if you want to get a free newsletter or be on the mailing list, just drop me an email at mrufo8@hotmail.com. We still publish a print catalog and a newsletter. And, of course, we're online as well.
Rick Hilberg. You're still doing stuff.
Yes, I am. I've been publishing continuously since 1962. Currently, I'm the editor and publisher of Flying Saucer Digest, just celebrating our 50th anniversary. Since about 1997, I've been spending a lot of time on historical research, going over these old cases, cataloging stuff, putting it together, retrospective kind of stuff. You know, whether it's good or not, it just fascinates me. So I've done about 18 or 20 small books on the subject over the years. If you want to contact me, just find me on Facebook, Hilberg, H-I-L-B-E-R-G. You can send me a message, and I'll send you a free sample copy of FSD.
Jerry Clark, you got anything going we can check out?
All of my writing, my anomalies writing, appears in 40 Times, and that's features, essays, and reviews. My last two books, Hidden Realms and Unexplained, are available through the usual sources. I'm out of the book writing business, but I'm not out of thinking about anomalies and writing about them.
Alan Greenfield, quickly.
Who are you talking to? I have a new book that's in the works. The working title is God Never Does the Same Thing Twice, which is a quote from the Rabbi of Bratislava. But the publisher may change the title because God sells to different audience than mine. And Complete Rite of Memphis, revised edition, is still going strong. And there is the Complete, C-O-M-P-L-E-T-E, Secret Cipher of the Euphonauts, which includes both Secret Cipher of the Euphonauts and Secret Rituals of the Men in Black, pioneering in its area, and a publisher called Paranoia Publishing has it out. They do pay royalties, so please buy it.
Okay, very good. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can find two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. You can also subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. You get the commercial-free version of this show, better quality audio, the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, and other stuff, and that new TV show Haunted from Paul Kimball. We're going to have one or two exclusive videos from there. Your co-host was J. Randall Murphy. Jerry Clark, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun. Always is.
Rick Hilberg, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's good talking to all of you old geezers again.
Alan Greenfield, thank you.
I am not an old geezer. I'll see you in time.
Tim Beckley, thank you for joining us.
Well, I still have all my hair, and I'm glad to be on. And hello to everybody, and good night.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.